Right now, it's our weekly political check-in with Harry Enten from 538.com.
Yesterday marked the last of the many Super Tuesdays as the country begins to wrap up the primary season. Voters went to the polls in six states, including the big prize, California.
Democratic hopeful Hillary Clinton clinched the magic number of delegates to become the presumptive nominee for the party. But it looks like Sanders and his supporters aren't going to go down without a fight.
I am pretty good in arithmetic, and I know that the fight in front of us is a very, very steep fight. But we will continue to fight for every vote and every delegate we can get.
And on the Republican side, Republicans aren't entirely sure what to do with their presumptive nominee, Donald Trump, after his comments disparaging the judge in the civil case against the now-defunct Trump University.
Harry Enten's back again to get us up to speed. He's senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, yesterday was sort of seen as the last big fight for presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders to hold his ground against former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Now, he did get votes, especially in California, but not enough to win the majority of delegates. And here's his speech after the polls closed in California last night.
We are going to fight hard to win the primary in Washington, D.C. And then we take our fight for social, economic, racial, and environmental justice to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
So that clip, Harry, does not necessarily sound to me like someone who's bowing out or dialing it down. What do you hear in that?
I mean, yeah, he's not dialing it down. He's not bowing out. He's going to meet with the president on Thursday. And then the understanding is that President Obama will appear on Jimmy Fallon and endorse Clinton. When you run and you get north of 40% of the national primary vote, it's very difficult to recognize that, in fact, the other person is going to win. And if you remember back to 2008, Hillary Clinton sounded very much the same as Bernie Sanders did last night. And then a few days later, she endorsed Barack Obama. I'm not sure it's going to happen as quickly right now with Bernie Sanders, but I think there's going to be a recognition by him and by his supporters. We've already seen Jeff Merkley, who was the one senator who endorsed him, say basically the game is up, the jig is up. So it's going to take some time, but eventually, usually, these people come around. There's no way Bernie Sanders wants Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States.
Well, there is word that Sanders is laying off some staff, which has to be some sort of momentous word from him, given that there's not anything more formal. Laying off staff does not portend good things for a campaign.
It tends not to be. I mean, a lot of those staff are field staff, and, you know, Washington, D.C. is the last primary. So, you know, I still think it's possible that he'd lay off that staff and still keep going. But notice, you know, when he says he's going to Philadelphia, he doesn't say he's going to Philadelphia, the convention, as a candidate. It's one thing to go to Philadelphia as a candidate. It's another to go to Philadelphia as someone who's bearing a message and wants that message to be heard. And I think it's probably going to end up more of the latter. But remember, Bernie Sanders hasn't been a member of the Democratic Party. He has been an independent. He feels very little to them. So who really knows if he could very well go into Philadelphia and create a ruckus.
Do you see a contested convention with superdelegates, people switching sides at the convention in July?
And that seems extraordinarily unlikely. In fact, the reason that Hillary Clinton is the presumptive nominee is because she has the vast majority of superdelegates, and not a single one of them has flipped from Hillary Clinton to Bernie Sanders. After last night, in which Hillary Clinton clinched a majority of pledged delegates, there's no reason for them to do so. The bottom line is that Bernie Sanders is simply put just not going to have the delegates that is necessary in order to be the nominee, and there will not be what he calls a contested convention.
And yet he has been a serious candidate, a very serious one who's galvanized a lot of young voters. Some of those who say they're not going to vote for Clinton, they may vote for Trump, they may vote for no one. So how does that get incorporated going forward?
You know, that's the hard part, right? You know, there are actually a lower percentage of voters this time around who say that they won't vote for Clinton, who are Sanders supporters, than Clinton supporters who said they wouldn't vote for Barack Obama in 2008. I think what's very important here is that Clinton, I think, recognizes that, you know, you can't put too much pressure on Sanders. He fought a very good fight. He got north of 40% of the primary vote. Let him come around. Let him recognize what the stakes are in this general election and don't allow it to be forced. And Sanders, once if he endorses Hillary Clinton, will bring his supporters along with him.
Oh, Harry, when we spoke last week, it looked like Clinton was going to win California, but it wasn't a sure thing. There was some doubt about how much momentum Bernie Sanders had and what would happen if she lost. And even if she lost California, it looked likely she would still be the nominee. But what about California? How did she end up winning it?
She ended up winning it multiple ways. Number one, I think a lot of the polls missed the early vote that she banked. I mean, she was up, you know, she won that early vote by north of 20 percentage points, and an early vote is as good as a latter-day vote. But basically, she did very well among Hispanics, African-Americans, and wealthier white voters, which has been her secret recipe throughout this primary. And I think a lot of the pollsters missed that Hispanic vote in particular, as they had in other states, where they vastly underestimated the percentage of Hispanics that would vote for Hillary Clinton.
So looking ahead, I mean, let's presume that Bernie Sanders does concede and comes somehow into the Clinton camp. How do you broker that transition to someone who is your opponent to someone that you're campaigning with? Do you know anything about the mechanics of how that might actually happen between two people like this?
I mean, what's essentially going to happen is they're going to have a sit down at some point. If you go back to 2008, Dianne Feinstein, who is a senator from California, basically gave her house, her living room over to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. She left the room. The Secret Service left the room. And they talked it out. There's going to have to be some sort of face-to-face meeting between the two of them. Maybe it's at the White House with Barack Obama, who's talking with Bernie Sanders right now and who seems to have the ear of Bernie Sanders. And they're going to sit down and they're going to talk out their disagreements. I'm sure Clinton's going to say, look, I'm going to fight for what you guys believe in, and I'm a much better option than Donald Trump. So I think, you know, this is going to happen. I don't know if it happens this week or next week or whenever, but normally there's some sort of sit down and some sort of mutual understanding that they're on the same side of this equation going forward.
We're talking about the presidential race with senior political writer and analyst Harry Enten. He's from 538. And moving to the GOP side of things now. Now, Donald Trump has had a rough couple of weeks following getting called out for maybe not giving veterans groups the money he claimed to, also for comments that he made against the judge presiding over the civil suit against the now defunct Trump University. We'll get to that in a bit. But last night, after winning several states holding primaries, there was a slightly different version of Donald Trump.
Tonight, we close one chapter in history and we begin another. Our campaign received more primary votes than any GOP campaign in history. No matter who it is, no matter who they are, we receive more votes. This is a great feeling. That's a great feeling. This is not a testament to me, but a testament to all of the people who believed real change, not Obama change, but real change is possible.
The word is, news sites reporting that Donald Trump was using a teleprompter last night, not sounding quite as bombastic. What do you think is happening with the Trump campaign right now?
Boy, he sounded like he was on downers there. Whew, that was a different Donald Trump than we're used to. Look, Donald Trump opened his mouth a lot during the primary season and made bombastic statements and won votes. And so he thought going into the general election could do the same thing, but learned over the last few weeks that, in fact, you can't do that. You cannot go after a federal judge and basically say, because he is of Latino heritage or Mexican heritage, that he can't be the judge in your case because you're building a wall. He got a lot of pressure from a lot of Republican leaders, including Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. And I don't know if that type of Donald Trump is going to be successful in the fall, the one that's on downers, because remember, a lot of the reason that people like Trump is because he is energetic, because he's off the cuff, because he's real. And he's going to try and mesh the two of being real without being perhaps too real. Last night, to me, indicated he needs some work at that, but maybe he can put it all together. We'll see. He's proved us wrong before.
Well, we've seen some high-ranking Republicans calling for those who have endorsed Donald Trump to rescind that support. Is that largely symbolic at this point?
I think so. I mean, he is going to be the nominee of that party unless something radical happens, because he has the majority of the pledged delegates. And we learned on the Democratic side this year, having a majority of the pledged delegates is very, very important to convince other people that you, in fact, should be the nominee. And it's possible. I don't dismiss anything this year. But I listen to Ben Ginsburg, who's a longtime Republican lawyer, who basically wrote the rules, and he says Trump is going to be the nominee. It's mostly symbolic, saying, you know, consider to rescind your support. He is that nominee.
So, Harry, just briefly as we wrap up, what are you going to watch for in the next week?
Let's see if Donald Trump doesn't get himself into trouble. That would be something interesting. And I'd also look to see what happens with Hillary Clinton and who endorses her, who previously hasn't.
Harry, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Harry Enten's here every Wednesday to talk about the latest in national politics. He's senior political writer and analyst for 538.com.